doing the letters in red in the Revelation. So we're going to take a look at the book of Revelation. I don't know. I don't know as I'm going to try to teach the book of Revelation.
I know, but Bernice does.
All right, Revelation. Somebody want to read the first verse? Chapter 1, verse 1.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw.
Okay. How far did you get?
I went into verse 2 a little bit.
Well, you want to stop at verse 1. Okay.
Bernice.
There you go. So Revelation is what?
Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay. It is a revelation of who he is. Who he is. I want to talk about that aspect of it. In the New Testament, how is Jesus revealed? Pardon?
Jesus revealed.
I can't hear.
How is Jesus revealed?
Yes, how is he revealed?
The Messiah?
Okay, what's that?
The Messiah?
Your question's a little vague.
Okay.
Your question's a little vague.
A little vague, okay. Well, as soon as I say it, you'll say, oh, definitely, no doubt about it. He is revealed as a God of love, mercy, and grace. Okay? How is he revealed in the book of Revelation?
Avenger?
The judge.
Okay, here we go.
A God.
He is revealed in a whole different fashion. He is revealed as a God of justice, judgment, and wrath.
And what?
And wrath.
Oh, wrath.
Okay, a lot of us don't realize that there are different aspects of God who are revealed, and in Revelation, he's revealing himself in a whole other fashion. And that's why it starts out by saying, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the same one that you saw in the New Testament. This here is him revealing himself, because there will come a day of justice, judgment, and wrath. And so as we go through Revelation, you find him revealed as that, because he pours out his wrath and so on. So it's important that we realize there's some aspects of God that we don't know. And one of them, you're going to see some of them as we look at this and the Word tonight. Okay? Let's go on and read to verse. Trying to decide where I should have started. Let's go ahead. I'm going to read it just in the order I have it. It'll be a little jumpy. Revelation 1:9. Someone want to read that?
I, John, both and your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on an island that was called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Okay. So, he's introducing himself. Who do we know him as? John, who?
Is it the Baptist, or?
No.
Which John is?
That's why I'm asking that question. Yeah, you could easily get confused.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of Johns.
Yeah.
Okay? In the Word, there's lots of Johns. And this one is the Apostle John. In studying today, I saw there's a list of about 5 or 6 different things that they could have called him or who he was. But he was the apostle that Jesus chose. And so he, so when it says God's using him to deliver the book of Revelation to him. Okay, so he chose John. John, he's on the Isle of Patmos. How did he end up on the Isle of Patmos?
It's like a prison, wasn't it?
Yeah. Pardon?
And wasn't it like a prison?
Not really.
No.
Almost. Not really. Anybody else know? Let me tell you how he ended up there. He was one that was the apostles, and he was very strong in preaching about who Jesus was and all that. And most the apostles were martyred. Mm-hmm. Okay, to be exact, I believe all but John was martyred. Why wasn't John martyred?
Oh. Confusing him with a Baptist, I was about to say he was beheaded.
Yeah.
No, not the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
Yeah. He knows that. He just gets confused.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of Johns.
Why wasn't he martyred?
He survived.
Let me tell you why. What happened? They boiled him in oil to try to kill him, and he didn't die. And so what they did, can you imagine being boiled in oil and still didn't die? I mean, you saw how much the burns on your brother's leg. Can you imagine what it would be if you were boiled in oil? Yeah. And he didn't die. So what they decided they were going to do is they were going to put him on the Isle of Patmos, which had nobody on it. Total isolation. He would no longer be able to influence people and all this kind of stuff. And so they said, we'll get rid of him. We'll isolate him on this island, which was desolate. Thinking that he would die, but at least he wouldn't influence people for Jesus Christ. And what does God do? God says, I have chosen you. Okay? To write and to the 7 churches. Who's it going to be influencing? All 7 of the churches, at least. And so here they are trying to wipe him out, and all they did was set him still long enough for God to get and him minister to all 7 churches. And that's why we're going to be talking about the 7 churches, because we can have a lot of the same dynamics that those 7 churches have.
Yeah.
And it's still relevant today. And we want to take a look and say, how does God see us? How do others see us? How do I see myself? And where do I fit? Where do I need to make adjustments in my life? That's basically one of the things we're going to be doing as we look at the different churches and the dynamics they had. They had good things and bad things, just like any church does. Okay? And so they have some things that he says correct. He says other things, do it more and do it better. And so we're going to be looking at that. But John ended up on an island to have special time with God. So
one thing about that verse that I really, a lot of things in Revelation I don't understand. But it says he and companion in the tribulation. Well, tribulation isn't there. It's not. It's now. So I.
What do you mean? I'm sorry. What do you mean? It isn't that. It isn't then. It isn't now.
It wasn't then. The tribulation wasn't then. The tribulation is.
No. What does it say? Here's, once again, we're getting it confusing because of words.
Right.
What is it saying? It's saying because of troubles.
Oh, okay.
The word for troubles is tribulation.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
And so when you're talking about the tribulation,
right,
it is a special period of
trouble.
That's all it is. It's a special time and period of trouble. And so, good questions, by the way.
Mine says it a little bit differently. Your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patience endurance that are ours in Jesus.
There you go. Just the trouble. They named some of the troubles they had. And different ones had different troubles. And in this case, he was supposed to be really having trouble if they'd had their way with him, but he didn't. He ended up having companionship with Christ and so on and so forth during that period of time, and was strengthened and encouraged himself. So what they tried to do, they did not succeed at doing. All right, let's go to verse 3.
Verse what?
3, chapter 1, verse 3.
Verse 3, back up? Okay.
Yeah, we're backing up.
Yes, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near.
Okay. So, here he is. He's making a declaration. Just to read this will bless you. Mm-hmm. Have any of you read Revelation? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And was it a blessing to you?
I'm tired. Nightmares.
I'm not sure that I read it like word for word.
Yeah.
James did a Bible study over a course of weeks.
Right.
In it, so, and he, it's not very revealing to me on an individual basis, but somebody that studied it, it makes a lot more sense.
However,
the teaching on it.
If we, I believe, that just to read it, period, not trying to figure out the problem with Revelation, if people try to figure out what everything means, and that, by the way, the reason I don't generally do studies on Revelation is because there's no better way than to get division and criticism and all that stuff going, because they think they know what it means. Most of the people who have taught it, I have totally disagreed with 50% of what they had to say. Because we don't know what it means. So I believe if we just go into it and say, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you refresh me and renew me and meet with me here as I read the word, is saying just to read it will bless you.
Yeah.
And so I believe the word of God wants to bless us. So the word of God is powerful.
I believe that some of it, even like you say, we're blessed by reading it.
Yes.
But we're not going to know until it's revealed to us.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that are secrets that are not revealed until it's time.
Yeah, well, I believe much of it, until it's fulfilled, you won't know. Yep. However, when you're in the middle of fulfilling, then all understanding can come. And you say, ha-ha, now I know what he's talking about.
Hey, I read that. Yeah.
Okay, because God opens it up and makes it real. Now, the thing is, when we're talking about the seven churches, I believe that there are different seasons, and there are certain seasons, and there are different things that go on in our life. And so, as you read that, God may speak something that he spoke to the first church to you. Then again, you could read 5 or to the other 3 churches and it didn't apply to you. So as we read the word of God, he will reveal what we need to see in order to deal with the things that are out of order. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's part of the whole ordeal. All right, let's go on to verse 4.
Let me ask you this here.
Good.
It says that these 7 churches are in Asia. Was God right. trying to get Asia straightened out or something?
Pardon?
He asked, is God trying to fix Asia and get them?
I can't hear a little.
He's asking, is God trying to get Asia to turn towards him?
To turn to him? The 7 churches are in Asia. Okay. So, does he want to renew them? Well, as we read it, you'll realize there's some of the churches saying, attaboy, keep it up. There's other churches who are saying, hey, you need to make an adjustment here, lest you totally miss being with me for eternity. And so he's just trying, each church has certain things that he spoke to it. And I believe there are different seasons in our life when God will give us correction in one area, and we may be doing fine, and then he will correct you in another area. And so the churches apply to us. The reason I think it's good to read is because God may want to speak something to you that you're not even aware of that's hindering you in your walk with God. And for every generation, I believe, you read it to a whole new generation, well, different things will apply. But I believe overall it applies to the church in general and every generation. So that's why I think it's important that we do take a look at it and say, God, examine my heart, examine my life, that I can be all I can be in and to you. All right, let's go on to verse 4.
First of all, this is long after Jesus ascended back into heaven.
Yes.
Like he's not there with John telling him.
No, he's not. Very good.
Secondly, what are the seven churches?
The seven churches? They're the seven churches. No, just kidding. Okay. Okay. If you notice, here, we'll go. Let me, by the way, all good questions, okay? So let me, verse 11, okay? Let me ask you when he's, let's read the churches.
11?
Yeah.
Yes.
11.
Which said, write on the scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. To Ephesus.
Smyrna.
Pergamon.
Thyatira.
Philadelphia. What the what?
Sardis.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other names.
Laodicea. Okay. Yep. Here's what I'm saying though. Each of those were a location in Asia. Okay? And so the one to Smyrna, the one to the others. We're going to shift gears for a minute. Okay? And that is, in just a few minutes we'll look up there and read. He said, he saw this light, and all of a sudden he saw seven candles. And basically, tonight we're going to be talking about spiritual things. Okay? There are natural things, and there are spiritual things. Okay? There are evil spirits, and there are righteous spirits. And I want to talk about that a little bit. Unfortunately, what happens generally when you start talking about spiritual things, people really get weird, okay? Or they don't catch any of it, okay? But we need to realize, and I guess we can stop and just shoot to a place where we see it happening. Let me go to, let me see if I can find my page. Let's go to Daniel chapter 10. When I talk about spiritual warfare, I think it's important we understand it's a reality. There are demons, there are demonic forces, there are good angels, there are warring angels such as okay, so let's look at Daniel chapter 10. And let's start reading verse 1, 2, and 3 or whatever.
In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called
Belteshazzar.
Okay, that word. The message that was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. Keep going?
He will, yeah.
In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat, nor wine.
So basically, he's put on a fast. Now this fast was, it wasn't that he didn't eat any food, he didn't eat any pleasant food. In other words, he is eating other kinds of things.
No chocolate cake.
No chocolate cake here. Let's go on.
I ate no pleasant food, nor meat, nor wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked. And behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphazar. Is that how you say that?
Just describing a garment. I don't care.
Okay. His body was like his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude.
So we see a being that is definitely not the norm. Okay? So what are we dealing with? We're dealing with some spirit, okay? Go ahead. Where are we at? What verse is it?
7.
Okay.
And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me. Say that again?
Frailty.
Okay. And I retained no strength, yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. So was it like he was praying?
No. Wait, where are we at again?
He was overwhelmed.
10:7.
Unconscious.
10:7. All right,
10:10. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling.
We're almost done.
Okay. When he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the later days.
Okay, let's stop right there. Basically, what happened?
Demons were attacking him.
As soon as Daniel began to see God, right?
Can I ask
what
you
happened?
Real quick, just interrupt.
What's that?
Does it give a name of this angel? I know it mentions Michael, but does it give a name of the one that was fighting?
I don't know.
Okay, I didn't know if I should skip that part. Okay.
Yes, the Prince of Persia is a force against good and godliness.
That's
the end of it. What we find here is Daniel, when he began to humble himself for God and say, God, I need your understanding, and fasted, a war started in the heavenlies. Mm-hmm. Okay? And what happened is they started doing war against each other, and you have the good forces contending with the bad forces. And finally, God sends a messenger to Daniel and say, hey, right from the very first day, I heard you. However, a war contended between the wicked Persian and whichever angel it was, Gabriel, whatever. Okay? I say this because we need to realize and understand, okay, that there is a war in the heavenlies. There's a war around you and I. And when you have the demonic forces, the good news is, for us, is God has given us authority over them. You see, Satan lost all of his authority when Jesus died for us on the cross. Okay? So he has no authority. He has power, but no authority. However, God has given us the right to use his name to do battle against the enemy of ours. And so there is a spiritual war going on. Now, some people get really weird and get off on all kinds of wild tangents because they begin to realize, oh, there is really, and they call everything a demon, or they call everything whatever, and they get really weird. I think you need God to show you what it is, because you probably aren't smart enough to know what it is, okay? And in this case, God told him what it was, okay? And so there are true spiritual wars that happen. I want to look at another aspect, and I don't know if we looked at, anybody have any questions? You realize while I was doing this saying, as soon as he started to fast and pray and seek God, a war started against the enemy of God's. Trying to stop him from understanding so he could do what God wanted him to do. That's basically what happened. In our lives, it happens too.
Yeah.
Okay? And there's a real war that can happen. Quite frankly, I believe the enemy has done his best to come against this church and the people in it. Okay? And what do we do about it? We seek God and humble ourselves and say, God, we need you to do battle for me because I'm not mighty enough. However, when we do stand against demonic forces, we can simply say, in the name of Jesus, you have no place. And like when I see stuff starting to happen that seem to be demonic around me, I simply say, in the name of Jesus, you must leave. I have authority and you have to go in Jesus' name. And I believe we can plant our feet when we have demonic, weird stuff happening and say, I take God's side on it. And so it's real important that we realize it. Another one that I always kind of like, so just endure me. 2 Kings chapter 6. That's way to the front of your Bible.
Yeah.
Way back to the front, yeah.
Chapter 6?
Pardon? Chapter 6, yes. 2
Kings 6.
Here's one that I think is a reality. 2 Kings chapter 6, and we can start at verse 14.
Which Kings?
2
Kings. 2 Kings.
14.
It's chapter 6. Chapter 6. Then we'll go to, when you get there, we'll go to verse 14.
Therefore,
just wait just 1 minute.
Verse 14.
16, yes. Verse 14. We're going to start with 14. Someone want to read that?
6 verse 14.
Somebody want to read it?
So they selected two chariots with their horses, and the king sent them after the Armenian army.
Wait a minute, I don't know where you're at.
Verse 14.
14.
He's reading a different version.
2 Kings 6:14.
14. It's going to be a little bit different.
Oh, 7:14.
6:14.
6:14.
Hello.
If you're using the NKJV, the blue one, it should be page 576.
I have a different version. That's why it's not going to be word for word the same as yours.
Starts, therefore, he sent horses.
So they selected two chariots with their horses, and the king sent them after the Armenian army. He commanded the drivers, go and find out what has happened.
Keep going.
They followed them as far as the Jordan, and they found the whole road strewn with the clothing and equipment.
No.
So you're way ahead.
2 Kings 6.
Oh, yeah, I'm right.
14.
Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city.
Okay, so this is the enemy of Israel. And they surround the city. Go ahead.
When the servant of the man got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those that are with them. Yes. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
Okay. Yep. So here we find God's people, and the enemy surrounds them and says, we're going to finish them off. And when the servant comes out in the morning, he sees all the enemy totally surrounding them, and he says, Elijah, what do we do? And he says, oh, there's one thing you don't realize. We have a force that is for us, far greater than this force. And he simply says, God, will you open his eyes that he might see what? Into the spirit realm. And see what he doesn't normally see. And what did he see? A force that was massive compared to that other force. And so we need to realize that there are two forces. There's a forces for evil and a force for good. And there is a war that goes on, and they contend against each other. And so when we're going through kind of stuff, we need to go to God and say, what is going on here? Okay? Because God can open our eyes to see what's happening in the heavenly. A few weeks ago, when I did my message, Sister Pat came up to me afterwards and said, hey, I need to tell you what I saw while you were up there at the end of the message. And she said, you had your hands like this, and Jesus was behind you, standing just like you were. And for me, it was simply God saying, I'm with you, and I'm for you. And so he wanted me to know that, and used her being able to see that. Because some people can see into the heavenly realm a lot easier, and by the way, and the demonic realm, a lot easier than others. Some people, I don't see into the heavenly realm or any of that. And God has given each of us gifts to use to minister to each other. So if he wants you to operate in that gift, he'll give you that gift, okay? Or if he wants to answer the question. You take like Sunday when we were praying over James and Kim. What did you see, Bradley? When you
this huge golden hand reached down from the ceiling and grabbed Kim's head while we were praying.
Yeah, that's never happened to him before. He came to me and said, "Man, it was really weird." Well, what did he do? God simply opened his eyes to see what was happening in the heavenly realm. Okay. And God can do that for us when we need to do it, when we need to know. And just like in my case, it's nice to know that God is with me and he's for me. And to say that, and then when the enemy comes with you with power, what do you say? Oh, but greater is he that's with me than he that's in this world. And so we can stand against the forces of hell because there is a heavenly war going on. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have any comments?
I do, because in saying that, I'm thinking, I've given authority over things in the past and didn't feel like anything happened, and I turned into a wimp. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking that there's, just because it's the word, it seems like you would have to know that it's true. Don't fear anything, but know you're confident. He yeah. said it, it's true. So I'm going to stand in faith and I'm going to speak to this mountain or this enemy.
Yes.
Regardless of feelings, because I know the enemy is real big into feelings and he will try to turn us into puny.
Well, he will come against our emotions because he knows that we're very vulnerable in the area of our emotions. So I've said all that to say, if we go back to where we were in Revelation, okay, if we go back there, let's go back to Revelation because we need to realize that God that God is wanting to empower them to see some of the stuff that's going on in the spiritual realm so they can correct it, so they can make adjustments, and he will do that in our lives too. Sometimes he will simply speak to us. Other times he'll cause us to see the glory of God and the good things that he's doing, just like when, you know, when God was behind me saying, I'm here with you. It's really nice to know. Mm-hmm. And so we need to, what's that?
You may want to share what what's her name?
Karen.
What Karen told James.
What's that?
She said that when he was preaching, she saw angels kneeling around him praying.
Yes.
Ooh,
so, there are some people that see into the heavenly realm, and there are no good, better gifts or less. The question, you know what the best gift is? The one you need for now. That's your best gift. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's important that you use your gift as God has given it to you to minister to one another. So some people can sing, and we don't want the people that can't sing to minister to us. Please, make that between you and God, and the rest of us will have peace and enjoy the rest of the worship. Okay? Have you ever noticed, by the way, Joyce Meyer, one of the things she always wanted to do, is I always wanted to be able to sing. She said, I still can't, but I can talk. So I just want to encourage you because the enemy would love to come along and say, well, you know, if you're more spiritual or blah, 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 all that garbage. And all we got to do is say, no, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide me and direct me, and I'm going to obey. And just like in this case, Daniel didn't know the answer, and he felt he needed to know the answer. So he fasted and prayed and did spiritual warfare to remove the obstacles from him discovering what he needed to know. Mm-hmm. Anybody have any statements or comments or questions?
Still wondering who the seven churches are.
Oh, okay. The seven churches are seven cities.
So they're not churches.
But they are churches. They are people. They are gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's seven different areas that the churches were in Asia.
Okay.
Spread throughout. And he said, so the seven churches were like church, New Life Family Ministry, right. First Assembly, blah, 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 and right. blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there's about 100 of them here in Ocala.
Yeah, but the thing in this case, there were seven churches that were in seven cities, and God wanted to encourage some, correct some, adjust some, and so on. And if we look at this, if you want to, verse 13, Revelation 1:13, or 12.
12?
What's that?
I was just going to say, in chapter 1:4, it says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia,
right.
Grace to you, peace and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne.
Yes.
Those seven spirits,
right,
are...
Right, there's seven, yeah. Well, I'm going to jump him up to 13. Or we can do it to start at 12. Yeah. And I turned and saw voices speak to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Okay? What is that? What is it representing?
One
seven lights, one for each church, a light, mm-hmm. okay, for each church. So once again, you're finding there are seven churches, mm-hmm. and he's speaking, he's giving them, going to give a message each one. And as we begin to read, you'll read where there's somebody saying, you know, you've worked hard, you've been faithful, keep it up. You find some others, he says, hey, you know, you've compromised, you need to quit compromising. And one of them says, you're compromising with the spirit of Jezebel. Okay, and so he corrects and he directs. So does that make sense who the churches are? Seven different areas,
yes.
In Asia. There's seven different churches. And there's a spirit, okay, over each church. That help?
I think back then they didn't have a church on every corner like Ocala does. I think when a church was there, that was the church.
Yeah, but
that's just a southern thing.
Let me make it very simple. If he were right today to us, he would say to the churches in Ocala. How many churches are in Ocala?
A lot.
All of us.
Okay, 100. Okay, let's say there's 100.
Sure.
All right. However, there's one spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so on and so on. So he sees us as that area. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we have that influence over the different areas. So he's going to cover each church. And then it says, by the way, when you get done reading this letter later on, it'll say, when you get done reading it, pass it on. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's what they did, was they would take, and Paul would write a letter, they'd send it to you, and then you'd send it to the church over here, and then the church would send it to the church over there. And so they were all encouraged and challenged and built up. And that's how they did it today. They didn't have the phones and try to be crazy, computers and all that stuff.
And they didn't send it through email?
Yes, didn't send it through email.
And they didn't have AI.
I don't know how we'd ever get a letter.
Yeah,
no
AI.
They didn't have AI.
But the thing I want to us to most realize, okay, is there is a spiritual war going on that just like Elijah's servant couldn't see. Okay? And so he got all worked up where Elijah said, hey, God, let him see what I see so that he can be at peace. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so God will use each of us in different arenas. And if God has called you to be a seer, or somebody can, you know, some people can see into the spirit realm. One of the things I have said I've never really want to see, I would prefer never to see into hell. Mm-hmm. I would be sick. Oh God, let me see into heaven. I don't want to have to see into hell. Although my dad had two visions in his life. When he got saved, a few months into his walk with God, God gave him a vision of hell. And he said it really scared the hell out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And because he said hell is a terrible place. So.
And you wouldn't want anybody.
Wouldn't want anybody.
No,
you wouldn't want your worst enemy to go to there. If you really knew what hell was like, if we really knew what hell was like, we wouldn't want anybody to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, where were we at? We're way back here. Let's go to John 4. Maybe you just read it, didn't you?
What?
John 4. So we must be
Revelation 1:4.
Revelation, yeah. Let's go.
Read that again.
I like how they did. Go ahead and read it. Yeah, read it one more time.
John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come.
By the way, who's that?
Jesus.
Okay. In other words, he was here before it all was. He made it happen, and he'll still be here when it's all gone. Go ahead.
And from the seven spirits who are before his throne,
Okay, so we find the picture of the seven spirits coming and standing before the throne of Jesus. Okay? What's he doing? Good.
And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Okay, so basically, once again, we find Jesus being the preeminent thing and saying, hey, he's faithful, okay? He's the one that raised from the dead first, and he is the prince of the king of the earth, okay? And he loves us, and he has forgiven our sins. That's who we find Jesus being in this picture of what's going on in Revelation, okay? And where is he at?
Heaven.
Well, where, yes. He said,
where's
John at?
Patmos.
Oh, correct.
Yeah, verse 9 is where he's at.
Oh, Patmos.
Yeah, he's on Patmos. He's on a desolate island all by himself, supposedly. And then you find out he wasn't all by himself at all because God was there. The seven spirits were there with him. All right, let's go on to verse 6. Did we read that?
Nope. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, so he has come to and given us a place in his kingdom, and we are to be there as ministers. All right. I think we're done with time.
Pretty close.
And so forth. Pretty close to it. Let's go ahead and read 7 and 8, and then we'll pray.
Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen.
Okay, it's telling us, listen, one of the things that's forthcoming is Christ is going to come. And when we see him, we will all weep because of, by the way, I believe, because of his glory, because of his goodness, because of where we might have fallen short. But he's saying, here he's going to come and we're all going to see him one day. I'm ready. I don't know about you, but I look forward to seeing who Jesus really is to us.
Me too.
And experiencing him. Amen?
Amen.
Do you want to read the last one?
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
Yes. I love the fact that he said, I started it, I did it, and I will finish it. What a secure place as the Church of God. Okay. Anybody have any comments or any statements?
We're definitely going to end up getting into the upper room and everything, right?
We're going to get where?
The upper room.
What we're going to do is
the revival in the upper room. Kids,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, spoiler.
All right.
Alert.
Very good.
Like a spoiler for everybody.
All right. We, God, once again, I just thank you for helping us to begin to comprehend the relationship that we can have with you. And it's kind of hard to believe that you want to have that intimate relationship with us. And God, will you open the eyes of our understanding that when the enemy comes against us, that we will be able to stand firmly against every lying spirit. And that when your Holy Spirit comes to us, that God, that we will have life and life more abundantly. Give us wisdom and discernment, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen and amen. All right. God bless you.